All right, gang, it is time for Puck Off. The playoffs almost here, and we're sorting everything out in the standings. We have Andy Beccaro at home in Hollywood, California, and I assume still in Chicago. I'm not sure. He had his triumphant special shot last night in Chicago. Joe, congratulations to great Joe Bartnick, and everybody's talking about how great you did. Congratulations.
Thank you. I want to thank everybody who came out to the Den. Sold out two shows on a Monday. So, and I did great, I got to say. Everyone's very happy. So, onward and upward. Just got to edit it and get it all out there. And I'll be in Philly working on new stuff. I got to write a new hour. But it was great. Good, it was so much fun. And the Liars Club are my favorite bar in Chicago. They opened on a Monday just for me. So we brought everybody over, like people from the show. It was a wild after party. So I want to thank all the Puck Off fans that came out. It was like great stuff. Not so great. The Pittsburgh Penguins.
Wanted to win that tonight, didn't you?
Well, for those who don't know, we're taping on a Tuesday because I have to travel tomorrow. So we're not in studio. I don't know if we had to win. We just got to play better. So since the trade deadline, we've beaten one playoff team. That's it. That's the list. So, like I said last week, unfortunately, in the playoffs, there's playoff teams. There's no NIT to win the Stanley Cup. So, I think we're dead at the door now. What do you think, Andy?
I unfortunately agree. I don't see a possible first-round matchup where they play more than five games, maybe six, if they play well. I think tonight was the epitome of a team that's peaking at the right time versus a team that's playing badly at the wrong time. I mean, Edmonton, ever since we were all over them about a month ago, has done nothing but win. Mike Smith, since I trashed him with the great Earl Skakel on the podcast, has been amazing. I think he has three shutouts in that time since that
nine time. Straight wins. And Frazier knows I'm
incredible.
Not president of his fan club either. Frazier's always been a big Mike Smith guy.
I have been. Yes. Well, you know what? The Caps lost tonight too, though. So,
yeah, Ovi, I believe Ovi did not play. He's resting, but he did get injured the last game. So
they did a pregame ceremony for him and he was in a suit, which kind of stunk because how often does that happen? Right. It was kind of a neat pregame ceremony to commemorate him passing the auger. So the Capitals did commemorate it tonight. Unfortunately, he was not dressed. And they have the Islanders and the Rangers left for the last two Capitals games.
Well, you were saying that Rangers. You were saying Rangers have nothing to play for at this point, Andy. And
they can't change position. I mean, they're going to be locked in that number two spot no matter what. So I wonder who they're going to sit, who they're going to play. I also think the Caps won't lose to the Islanders twice in a row. So I think the Caps having to come out with 3 points to secure. 3 out of 4 to secure the spot over the Penguins, looking pretty likely, just because of who they have to play and the strength of schedule. But like I said, I don't think it matters much for the Penguins. I think that Joe is correct in saying you'd rather finish 8th and take your chances versus Florida than finish 3rd and get smoked by the Rangers. I mean, that's really how I see it. I don't think they're going to beat Florida either, but. Better chance.
Yeah, there's a better chance of Bobo imploding or I don't know. I mean, Florida is such a much better team than the Penguins. But I see the Rangers playing hard against the Capitals because I think you have to think if you're in Madison Square Garden that day. Well, if we beat Capitals tonight, we don't have to see them again. Because I would much rather play the Penguins than the Washington Capitals.
I would, too, depending on this Ovechkin injury. Obviously, it's hockey, and we're late in the season, so details are very sketchy. Hopefully, they're erring on the side of caution and not playing him. I'd be amazed if he isn't dressed for game one. But, I mean, certainly the Capitals are a much different team without the Ovechkin threat.
You know, we don't know the extent of the injury now. But he did take a hard hit there on the boards, on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was rough. It looked bad, but I still think if this was game one of the playoffs, he would have played tonight. You know what I mean? Given that it's game 81 or 80, then it doesn't really matter much.
If he's not in a sling, to me, he's playing game one. If he's in a sling, then I say he's playing game three.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's playing. I think there's no chance he's not.
Now, did we last week, it's all blurring together now, I've been on the road for a month. Did we have that Jari had a broken foot? Did we have that last week? Because that really is the whole thing with the Penguins. Now, I know they're not playing great, but they have to know. They have absolutely no chance with Casey DeSmith. Now, I know DeSmith stopped all 52 in one of the greatest goaltending performances of all time. Number of shots faced in the shutout. I think he's like fourth all time or fifth all time and number one all time for the Penguins.
Yeah, 52 shots
faced in the shutout. But they're not going to beat anybody with Casey DeSmith. So, you know, I mean, do you think the team just like, well, you know.
I think it goes past that. I think if Marcus Peterson has to log the kind of minutes that we've seen him log, I thought he was terrible tonight. He's been Jekyll and Hyde all year. I think that they're two defensemen away from being competitive and at least two forwards that can chip in goals in the second or the third and fourth line away from really being competitive. So I think that no matter who is in goal, it was going to be trouble. And I think you're right with DeSmith, although he played, I thought he played well tonight. I have very little complaints about DeSmith tonight. And it's certainly coming off a 52 save shutout. I think that, you know, you'd rather have Jari, but I think that their problems extend so much further out than missing Jari. Yeah, that it's almost like a footnote. I won't make
this an hour about the Penguins, but I don't think DeSmith played particularly well against Detroit. He lets up a ton of rebounds. And good teams bury rebounds.
Is Jari out for good now, or we don't know?
Well, when you are pushed out in a chair to your team photo, I don't think you're going to play in a week.
That's not good. Yeah.
When you're weekend at Bernie's, your team photo, I don't think you're going to be back in the lineup. So by the time he's, you know, skating, then contact, they said it's a broken foot. You know, the Islanders just kept running him.
Oh man.
You know, and I'll tell you the other thing that's even sadder is Rusty has cooled off. He's shanking putts like he looks like me trying to play golf the way he's shanking shots. He's not making Hextall think maybe we should go the extra million that Detroit or somebody else will. So that's another, you know, demoralizing thing. And the fact is that the only offense from defense, even though Matheson's looked pretty good, is Letang. So if he walks, I mean, they're really done. They are done.
Yeah, I think that the importance of matching Russ, no matter what it is or who it is, that's going to be a real important decision for the Penguins. I think that Rust or Letang go. And I think that Rust is a guy that is going to score 30 for a long time. I think Letang has 3 years left of being a real puck controlling defenseman. But if you take either player off that roster, I'm not sure who you replace them with. I mean, a guy that carries the mail like Letang for 30 minutes a game, a guy that scores 30 like Rusty. They're two huge gaps that I really don't see them filling. So I think that they have to throw everything at those two guys to try and win again with Sid at this point.
Either that or they're going to have to wait for Sid, who hope he doesn't beg to leave after 3 years of sucking. Sid's going to win because they're done. Freddie Anderson injured and Ronta dinged. The Carolina Hurricanes may be an easier pickings than most people. I always thought they were I never bought on all the way, but goaltending issues in Carolina, man, doesn't that always sound familiar?
Yeah, and you don't want to lose those guys now.
No,
yeah, and there's no doubt that without Freddie, they're not as competitive. I mean, he had a year that in other years might be considered Vezina-like. I think that, you know, without him, and of course, Ronta, without your backup, I don't even know who the third kid is. I mean, they got to get one of those two back to go deep.
It's setting up for the New York Rangers. Speaking of goaltending woes, Lerner out, season-ending surgery.
Yeah, and they have a big game tonight. They're playing the Stars.
It's 2-2. I'm watching out of the corner of my eye. Stars have really outplayed them. This kid Thompson's playing pretty well, but man, how stupid do you feel trading Flower for a bag of pucks? And Lerner has been, you know, and again, I have sympathy for the guy, but he's had a bunch of problems and he's been kind of nothing but a problem. And with Pete DeBoer's comments yesterday, it seems like it's over for him in Vegas. Vegas has got to find a new starting goalie. I mean, it's not just over for right now. I think it's over.
Well,
I mean, Pete DeBoer saying he's worried about who's here, and
Lerner, I have a pretty good source.
He's mad.
I have a very reliable source, and I'm telling you the truth. Lerner is back on whatever he's on.
Oh, okay.
I know a lot. I know people in that community. And not the rehab community and the high end guys in the hockey community, and they all look out for each other, and he's not doing well.
Oh man. Wow.
You know, that stinks to hear. I was hoping it was just an injury. Obviously these thoughts linger in the background with a guy like him, and you know, you don't want to ride him now because you just hope he gets better. But, you know, Vegas right now, 7 minutes left, 2-2. They lose this game to the Stars. That's it.
They're
done. Yeah. And even if they win it, they still got to keep going. So I think that, you know,
I loved it.
Vegas,
did you see how they lost?
Just doesn't have it.
Did you see how they lost the other night? It was incredible.
Yeah.
Timo Meier scored with less than a second left. And then that Gordaloo guy scored in the shootout, and that was it.
Did you see before the game, Timo Meier had a mini Mark Messier moment where he said, like, this is the most important game of the season. This is our game. Like, there's nothing like making your rival's road harder, you know, in the last three or four games. And then he comes out and he scores a big goal. I you know, Timo Meier, what a gamer he really is.
Yeah, he's had a good year. Speaking of good years, Austin Matthews, 60.
Wow.
Put on a That's clinic a tonight for number 60. Most goals ever by an American.
Yeah.
He's record. Definitely pushing his way on the American Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. He really is. I mean, Patrick Kane might not be up on top of there too long. I mean, and when you think about the fact that Matthews has dealt with two injuries, one the beginning, one the end of the year, and a suspension, and he scored 60. I mean, you got to remember the first 10 games, you were kind of like, where's Austin? Where's Austin? He hadn't turned on yet. So he's really done all of this in about a 45, 50 game stretch. And I think that right now, you know, it's just undoubtedly he's the best goal scorer in the NHL.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I guess I got to believe that. Yeah. You know how much I love Matthews. I'm just trying to think, I mean, Alexander Ovechkin's still alive.
He is, and look, he's still amazing, right? But I really think that it's between, you know, maybe Leon and Austin right now, and I just think Austin, he just makes it look so easy. He does look like vintage Ovechkin. Not that Ovechkin doesn't still look like a vintage Ovechkin, because he does at times, but I think that Matthews, you know, I think 60 for the next two or three years is not ridiculous to think at all.
No, not at all. I think it hit 70 at some point.
If
you count all the games he missed and he was injured, I'll tell you who kind of has like the junior suite next to Ovi's office is Stamkos. Stamkos scores more goals from Ovi's office than anybody but Ovi.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Yeah, same one question. He's won at least two Rockets too. So, I mean, that's what I was saying last week, where I think that, you know, Stammer gets lost in the conversation sometime of the best players in the league. I mean, to win Rockets in an era where Ovechkin is playing was very tough. And I think Stammer has at least two, if not three. I know he shared one with Sid, won one outright. I think he has another one too in the past 15 years.
How about the snowman they put on the Florida Panthers too? I mean, you talk about the veterans rising up when they have to.
Yeah, and how about that Bennett versus Surge fight? That was some real, you know, I think seeing the Florida teams play in the playoffs is something that we've all got to be rooting for, because there's some nastiness there. I think it's good for the league. I really think that those two teams, they've started to really not like each other, and that's great for playoff hockey.
Oh, their series last year was incredible, and I think Florida gave them the toughest. And if Bennett didn't get tossed for game two, I think Florida has just as good a chance to win it as they, you know, I really think they had a really good chance to win last year.
Do you think TB can beat him this year?
Yeah. I will say this, though. Vasilevskiy looks more human this year than he has in about 5 years, in my opinion. I don't know if he's tired. I don't know if he's gearing it up for the postseason. I don't know what, but he's let up way more goals that he never used to let up in the last month that I've seen.
Yeah, I think in general, they are feeling that back-to-back win. I mean, I think we saw it with the Penguins where I think we all felt like, hey, maybe they could do three. And then it was like, towards the end, they couldn't. I think this Tampa team is probably five players deeper than the back-to-back Penguins team. So I think they still do have a better shot, but I think that the amount of hockey played, I think we mentioned it last week, is starting to show up and down the lineup. I think that Tampa comes out some games and they look unstoppable, and other games they look not very recognizable. So it really depends. I think Cooper has that group going, you know, come playoff time. But, you know, I think the Rangers and the Panthers have a good chance to knock them off. I still think I pick Tampa in either instance.
Yeah, I mean, I've said for 40 weeks, I think it's Colorado versus one of the Florida teams, and I just picked Florida because I'm not going to pick a three-peat, not because I don't like Tampa Bay, or I just think three-peat is hard and it's kind of ridiculous, you know. So I'm going to pick Florida, but Tampa reminds me more of the 92-93 Penguins that were so good and locked in with so many Hall of Famers that they just got tripped up by Darius Kasparaitis, former Puck Off guest. you know, like the back-to-back Penguin teams, they were on fumes on the second one, but then they could have won the third one if it wasn't for a bad Dominic Simone penalty, because that's what made them lose to the Capitals. So I don't know if they would have kept going on, but if they beat the Capitals had won the cup. So who knows? But I just see Tampa is five or six players deeper for sure. And, you know, I mean, it's, and even, you know, the Penguins have two knock-on Hall of Famers and, you know, and Letang. I guess they had Flower, but he was the backup. But, you know, Tampa Bay's got like six Hall of Famers on that team.
Yeah, and I just think that Tampa Bay, they just can't be matched when it comes to forward depth. Before we even get into the defensemen, who are very, very, very good, I just don't see a matchup for them where people can go, you know, one-to-one as far as lines 1 through 4 and match up with them. But that's what makes, you know, hockey crazy, is that I do think that we have seen instances of them looking tired. And it's very possible, I think, especially in Florida and New York for an upset there.
Well, there's two Tampa teams. There's the team that is pretty good most of the time. But they can get beat. They look human. And then there's the Knights. Like, the Knights that they look human are the Knights that Stamkos is their best player. And that's nothing against Stamkos. He's the captain. He brings it every night. He gets more impressive every single week, in my opinion. Stamkos's enthusiasm for the game, his toughness, his mental approach. He's a warrior. He's like a Sid or a Bergeron. Literally, he's every effort, every shift, every time. But there's those games that Point and Cooch take. There's the games that Point and Cooch take off. But the games that Point and Cooch show up, That's when they put a snowman on the Panthers.
Yeah.
Because there's games when Cooch doesn't show up. And there's games when he scores 5 points. It's like 50-50. Which one are you going to get? So in the playoffs, I bet him and Point show up.
Yeah. They're not going to not show up in the playoffs.
Well, if they show up even 3 of 7 games, that's going to be trouble for the other team. I mean, they cannot show up for 4 of them and leave it to Stammer.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean, I agree. And I'm not trying to knock Kucherov and points whatever, because they're incredible. And how can you ask someone to get 5 points a night? No one's Lemieux or Gretzky, but you know what I mean? It's like there's games when you don't hear from them at all. And then there's games when it's just like, it's over.
I guess when you talked about being tired. Do you think playing all those extra playoff games the last couple of years catches up to them, or do they just play through that?
I think it does. I mean, those are hard minutes on some of those guys. I see it more affecting like a Hedman or a the defense. The forwards, they're still younger. They're not old guys. I mean, maybe it affects. They're all pretty. I mean, Maroon. He doesn't look like he's affected. I mean, maybe Corey Perry. You know, I don't know. I think they're pretty fresh.
I think they're fresh. I just think that they haven't had as great a second half as I think we all kind of anticipated, and but that could also be them knowing when to turn it on and turn it off. I mean, nobody knows more about how important it is in a week than it is now.
And that's a great point, because I'll tell you, the dumbest thing that happened to the 92-93 Penguins was they went on that 18 or 17 game winning
17
streak.
Yeah, 17. Right.
And they got all tired. Why does Cooch care about beating Nashville on a Thursday when he needs to rest for Florida Panthers in two months?
Absolutely.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to talk myself into anything. It isn't just like those two teams. I mean, it's going to be, I just think there's no doubt it's going to be like that should be the Eastern Conference final, in my opinion, unless the Rangers get really smoking or Igor just stands on his head, which easily could happen.
Now, I've heard both. Are they reseeding this year like they did last year, or is it straight bracket playoffs?
Oh, I don't know.
See, that's the confusion of the NHL.
Every time I ask the fans if they want it 1-8 or this form, it's like 1-8 wins like 99% of the vote.
Well, it's definitely winner of each conference plays the wild cards. But I've heard, and by heard, I mean on TSN, ESPN, TNT, different formats. So I'm still unclear on exact. I believe it is you stay in your bracket like it was all the years before COVID, and they just changed it these past 2 years. But yeah, I think that unless they have to meet in the second round, which would again kind of be a shame, I think that they are the two best teams in the conference. But I do think the Rangers really are sitting right there, behind them.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just not sold on Carolina. That's all I can say. I'm getting more
Freddie wasn't injured.
Yeah, especially with Anderson out.
Yeah, I like Aho and I definitely like Svechnikov and TiVo. I just think that they don't, are they really going to do it when, I don't know if they're like super, super duper stars. That's all. What you need.
They're like the West Coast Stars, the Dallas Stars of the East Coast, I should say, where I don't think it would, be a crazy surprise, but it would still be a little surprising if they were to get to the conference.
Well, the team I was on last week, the Bluesers, they're losing 3-0 Colorado. In Colorado, oh, by the way, without Landeskog and Rantanen. So
are they back or are they just sitting them now?
Rantanen, I think, is just kind of dinged. Landeskog, I don't know if it's for long-term IR money reasons or what, but he's
been out for a while now.
He's just going to play game one. Yeah, he got surgery.
Yeah.
Remember, he opted for surgery. So right. he's ready for game one. They only have one more game after this. So.
Yeah, it's crazy that we're at games 80, 81, and 82 for some of these teams. Now, this year just flew.
Oh, you think so? I feel like it's been the Iraq War.
Well, I was at the first game of the season, Vegas versus Seattle, and I feel like I was just there. I mean, that's what keeps tripping me up is that I remember when Seattle had hope.
Well, we were at the preseason game in Colorado, and it seems like that's about true. 9 years ago.
That does seem like it was a long time ago. Actually, that's funny. They were about a month apart, but to me, they seem years apart. You're right.
The Pasta Man is back in. You wonder why the Penguins beat Boston. Well, Pasta didn't play. He played against the Rangers and they won. He scored. He's back. Hampus Lindholm back. So Boston, a team to be feared, I guess. I actually stayed in the same hotel as the Bruins, and I got to see Nick Foligno and we chatted up in the hallway.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he looks mangled, man. He's played some hard minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool, though. Absolutely. How do you think Bruins do? Do you think they, what do you think?
I think they can upset someone, or if they lose in seven or six, I think that's what they'll do.
Yeah, I think they can win a series here or there. Do I think they can go through two of the better teams in the conference or three of them? Probably not. And no knock on them. I just think that I really put the Florida teams and the Rangers just kind of that notch above. And if Freddie was healthy, I'd throw Carolina in there too.
Yeah, like I think if they get Toronto, I think they can get in Toronto's head. I don't think they can get in a Florida team's head. So,
well, I think they're already living there. How many times have they beaten Toronto in the past right. 6 years? Right, like three times, I think, in the past 4 or 5 years.
That's what I'm saying. You know, yeah. I don't know if they can. I don't know. Is the myth of Rat and Bergeron and Pasta, is that gonna? I don't see that really scaring the Tampa Bay Lightning or the.
Well, just like the Caps in 18, you're going to have to get the monkey off your back at some point. So, you know, maybe it's best for Toronto to have this big emotional series first. If they beat Boston, that could give them the kind of lift and belief that they need to get through. Again, I don't think that they're nearly as good as the Florida teams or New York. But I think that with Austin Matthews' ability to just go nuclear and win a series, it could happen. It wouldn't surprise the hell out of me.
No, I definitely agree with the fact that I'll put it this way. I think that possibly Toronto could beat two of the Florida teams on a good day. I just think you never know. I think they have more of a puncher's chance. But I don't think Boston does. But I think the only team that Boston can beat is Toronto.
Yeah. By the way, guys, the Penguins in Washington as well.
Well, yeah, but they're not going to face them.
They're not going to play them yet, yeah. They'll be out by the time they can face them.
By the way, Calgary just beat the Preds in OT. So the Preds got a point.
The Preds are not safe yet.
Well... Mm-hmm. No, the bottom three is still kind of knocking around in the West, which is amazing because the East has been set since Christmas, it feels like.
Now, did you guys see Getzlaf, our guy, Superman, played his last game, and he did the whole Ben Roethlisberger, like his family walked down the ice. So Solani came out with that ATV was all ducked
out. Yeah.
That was pretty badass. Did you see the assist he made to Henrique? I mean, what a way to go out.
Yeah, and I thought it was great the way the Kings players all came to center ice afterwards and acknowledged him. You know, what a heated rivalry that is. How often do you see that in sports? I remember the Flyers did it for Mario.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'm struggling to remember another time where the team really acknowledged, you know, a Hall of Famer that we've been, you know, basically we've hated. For the better part of two decades, is his last game. I thought that was really great of the Kings organization to show some respect.
Oh, Dusty and Kopitar for sure. All those wars, and they totally cool about it. I mean, it was literally like his assist to Henrique in a losing cause was kind of was very. It was like one of the most significant retirement final plays. It was kind of like when Lemieux scored against the Flyers, but then they had to lose the next game. But you know what I mean, it was like bittersweet, but kind of leaving on top. But it was totally classy by.
Yeah, that was classy. Yeah.
Well, I remember when Gretzky retired, all the Penguins went over and went nuts. Well, the whole league went nuts. Remember Jager scored?
Oh, him and Jager hugged it after overtime. Yeah, I was actually in Manhattan that day watching that game at the ESPN zone.
Wow. You got it. It's a great one. You got to show him love.
So, Frage, I just looked up and it looks like Saros left that Nashville game with an injury. And then big save Dave Rittich let in a goal with the goalie pulled 6-on-5. And then he lost in overtime.
Wow.
Yeah, he limped. Saros is hurt.
Well, you know, there was a collision with in the Vegas Dallas game too.
Yep, he stayed in. I just saw that Thompson got run by Nemestikov. And now it's in a shootout that's in the fifth round. No one's let in a goal yet. But yeah, these goalies, they, you know, Joe, you pointed it out when the Islanders were just running. Was it the Islanders? Whoever was running Jari. The crash in the net's happening a lot right now.
Yeah, and if no one's stopping it, then it's going to keep going. Like, you know, you got to put your foot in someone's ass. Carrick, Sam Carrick got a 2-year deal out of the Duckies. I guess the deal they didn't want to give Big Nick Energy, Delorier. Carrick, he's a little more offensive, I guess. I don't know. I don't care for that deal. Here's the saves. Casey DeSmith, all time, 52 in the shutout. Craig Anderson got 53 one time. Verlamov, 54. Mike Smith, 54. And the big one, remember Ben Scrivens of the Ottawa Senators? Remember that? He had 59. I
remember the other two. I do not remember Ben Scrivens.
Oh, I'm sorry. Scrivens was a king, wasn't he? And then when he got set the record, and then he got traded to the Ottawa. One or the other?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Is that when he went to Edmonton, his wife didn't like shopping. He freaked That's out. Right.
him and Chris Pronger's wife.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was an old puck off years and years ago in the archives. Yeah,
we made so much fun of that.
Yeah. Doesn't Edmonton have the second biggest mall to Minnesota? Yeah,
you can't find something in that mall. Come on.
Right?
Yeah. It's a huge mall. Here comes the shootout. Oh, man.
So before too long, I'm sorry, fans, if we're distracted. It's night. I'm exhausted. But very, very, very sad news. Anyone listening to this knows it already. But the Flower, Guy Lafleur, the original Flower, passes away at only 70 after a long battle with cancer. So within a week, we lost Mike Bossy and Guy Lafleur. And I can honestly say my two favorite hockey players before Mario Lemieux. Like Bossy and Guy Lafleur, so it makes me feel old. Nothing like the Flower. 5 Stanley Cups. Everyone was him growing up, playing road hockey, ball hockey, whatever you want to call it. And in rod hockey, the tabletop game one of my favorite things on earth. I was always Guy Lafleur. Your thoughts on Guy Lafleur, Frage?
Well, like you say, a true legend. It is ironic that we lose two of the very greatest in such a short time there. And, you know, my cousin lives in Montreal, and she tells me that the city is just in mourning because he is a true hero in that town, you know, and throughout all of hockey, of course, but particularly in Montreal, the town is just in mourning. And, It's really a big deal to them because he was a flashy, fun player to watch and had a lot of charisma and class and became a great ambassador after he retired for the game of hockey. So that's a guy who really deserves the legend title.
Well, it comes down to this. Can you think of a person that wasn't a president or a war general that has 3 statues in 3 different cities? He's got one in Montreal, one in Quebec, and one in Thurso, Quebec. One in Quebec City, I should say, and one in Thurso, Quebec, his hometown. I mean, he's as beloved a French-Canadian player that has ever lived. He was before my time, but I love seeing him in the movie Strange Brew. And he's one of the few guys that, if you go and you look at YouTube and you look at 70s hockey, you know, in the 60s and the early 70s, it was hard to translate. The picture isn't great. You can't see how they dominate. But he's like the first guy, him and Bobby Orr, the first two guys who really translate. If you just sit down and watch a YouTube video of their highlights now, they're as impressive as anyone. He really is that player that, again, was before my time. But I remember going to Madison Square Garden games and seeing Ranger jerseys with the Flower on them. Like, once a game, you'd see a Lafleur jersey. So terribly sad day. And to lose Gillies, Bossy, and Lafleur in the same, 4-month period is those are 3 of the, generational players in the game.
I mean, Guy Lafleur, he took 3 years off and came back, and he was really good as a Ranger. It's pretty crazy. Well,
and, you know, and he had the, you know, it was pre-helmets. So you see that hair, the blonde hair flowing when he was, you know, skating. Just a picturesque skater, too. You know, beautiful skater.
He was the Flying Frenchman. Like, yeah. he was the stereotypical, the stereotype of the French guy that could fly and look pretty and that could score. Like, he's yeah. the guy. He's the Jerry West. If you put the logo of the NHL, like, he's the logo, you know.
That's right. That's a good example.
But
analogy.
Because you had to. He was as tough as steel. I mean, you know. He wasn't lighting his loafers on the ice, though. He took a beating. He dished one out. You know, just he was a hockey player. Five Stanley Cups. Just think about that. Like, Sid, Gino, Kane, Taves. You know how he had five.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, man.
He was the best player on arguably the best dynasty in the history of the sport. So, I mean, you know, he's really, you know, one of those guys who, again, before my time, but even so, I've seen so many of his goals and so many highlights that, you know, I wish I was able to see him play live.
Yeah. You know, and some of it's the name, you know, Guy Lafleur has a very Canadian essence, obviously, and is French, but he's one of those guys that broke through everything where, you know, basically, when it's like only Lemieux, Ovechkin, Sid, he's up there in the people that you ask a housewife in Montana, who's Guy Lafleur. She knows he's a hockey player.
That's you know, right.
He has an IMDb. He was in a couple of movies. He was in Strange Brew, I remember, in the 80s. I mean, he was a guy that was really marketable and beloved. And yeah, you got to feel bad for the Canadians fan base right now. Very, very young age to lose a guy. And, you know, again, as iconic a name, you know, there's probably three names in the history of the sport that you could say even argue above his.
Well, my cousin said they shut down the city.
I can imagine. They almost shut it down when they traded Subban.
They always have to shut down the city there. They're always shut down. Did they ever open back up after COVID? I mean, I think they're still in COVID.
They're still especially if it's, yeah. Especially if it's snowy. And to add one story I read to this, there's Canadian fans none too happy with Shea Weber. He didn't come back for the conference banner hanging, which is one thing. He didn't come back for the Guy Lafleur night, but he did go to the Pecorine number retirement. And as you know, Canadians fans, they take their team very seriously. It's Shea Weber has gone from kind of hometown hero to, you know, he's in the doghouse a little bit right now in Montreal.
Well, you know what, if he hasn't played in the league this year, I bet he was living in Nashville where there's no COVID policies than living in Montreal all winter.
I totally agree, and I'm on Shea's side on this one. It just optically looks bad for him to go to Pecorine's retirement and not go to any of the things in Montreal. But you're right. It's tough to get to Canada and to get into, you know, to do these things for at least half the year. So I think that, and for Shea Weber, a guy that's that competitive, just lost the Stanley Cup, I think it's got to hurt him to be around a team that he thinks he should be on right now if it weren't for injury.
Well, what is the, I'm sorry, can you repeat what the two things he missed?
He missed the banner raising for the conference championship, which is, you know, whatever. And then the thing they're really on him for is not going back for the Guy Lafleur night.
Well, you know what, as a former captain, he should have went back for Guy Lafleur.
Should have gone
that is a bad look. That is a bad look. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind not showing up for the bronze medal ceremony. Yeah, I can't even believe how far have the Montreal Canadiens fallen that they're putting up conference championship banners? Is that at the practice facility? They're really put that. They really hung up a conference final in the Bell Center. No, they really did.
Well, wow. It was in front of nobody, so who really even saw it? Does it matter if Shea was? They didn't have fans beginning of the season, right? But
well, I think they have them now.
They have them now, but not game one where they hung the banner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, it's a little odd.
But they have, you know, he probably would have had to like test. He probably had to like stay in his house for 2 weeks before he went, that was back in the height of it when Canada was shut down. I don't blame him for not going back.
I'm Team Shea Weber here. I really am. I just think that, but there is a lot of negative.
He should have went. I'm not on his side about the Guy Lafleur thing.
Yeah, he should have gone.
As a former captain, you got to go. But I'm embarrassed for this organization that they're hanging a conference champ. Between all the nut, is there room on the ceiling? I mean, between
you know what
the
I think
tops,
I literally
the numbers they retire. You can't even have a number anymore. You got to be like number 87, 89. Like,
I think it's literally a banner of how many times they've won the conference championship, and they just add a year. So I don't think it was a new banner. I think it was just some sort of ceremony. But again, Canadians fans, some of the best fans in the sport. You know, they take it very seriously.
Well, they should. That's not a good look. And he knows he knows better. That's really poor, to be honest with you. Like, I think less of him.
Yeah, that's not.
Yeah. I think him living in Nashville and his family being there, it's totally excusable for any other reason. But it is odd that he didn't go. And I do believe that almost every other captain that's still alive for the Montreal Canadiens was in attendance. So it did leave a gap.
That's not being the captain of the Nashville Predators. That's counting the Montreal Canadiens. Like, that's you go. And that's Guy Lafleur.
You got to go for Guy. You got to go for Guy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, there's no excuse. There's really, unless he had a medical issue in his family, which maybe he has that in his back pocket somewhere. There's no excuse.
Yeah, and especially with the way it leaves the fan base thinking about you. You got to remember, this team has got to pay him for the next 4 years. And again, it goes on LTIR. It doesn't go against the cap, but he is making a significant amount of money, and you can't blame him for not retiring. If he retires, he doesn't get it. So it does leave a bit of a stain on a guy who, you know, is very important in this league for about 15 years.
Well, when he's an Arizona Coyote, maybe he'll go to the Derek Stepan number retirement.
That's true. He's absolutely ending up on the Arizona Coyotes, 100%. By the way, did you see their ticket prices next year? Second and third, I think, only to Toronto and New York.
Yeah, they're jumping up the ticket prices.
No,
they're ridiculous.
So it's going to be really embarrassing when it's empty. Why would they do that?
I think they're betting on the only people that are going to buy season tickets are going to be the corporate, you know, people who are buying write-off tickets. And so I think they're thinking they're going to sell that amount just in, you know, people writing it off and buying seats for their corporation. But as far as an atmosphere goes, it sounds like that's going to really stink. I think cheapest ticket is like $80. And I think you're basically standing room only at that point.
What you're doing is you're making it just an away game every time, because the only people going to pay that are the Boston fans that want to see the Rat Patty one more time. The Penguin fans that want to go see Sid. Everyone from out of town is going to go to all those games to see, like, when the Blues come to town, the St. Louis people are going to go to the games.
And if it couldn't get uglier, the day after that, it was announced that it would cost the taxpayers of Arizona $30 million in rerouting airline routes from Sky Harbor Airport to build the new Tempe Arena. So the new Tempe Arena is effectively dead. About 2 days after they announced the price hikes, I think the countdown to Houston has officially begun.
Jeez.
That lottery is still, he's not giving that team away.
No.
They're going to be playing at the Scottsdale High School gym.
They're counting on
Boss has anything to say about it.
He'll find the transplants from the Witness Protection Program going to the games.
Sammy the Bull's going to go. I think that there's a better chance of them being profitable in Houston though at this point. I really do.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, there's nothing more profitable than a casino.
Yeah, but from what I understand, the whole project now is not going to happen. They're not going to reroute.
I understand what you're saying. Saying is, he doesn't care. He'll just have those guys play in that gymnasium for all eternity and just get that lottery. Because even if he gets a new arena, he's still not going to make money on that team probably for 10 years. Because he doesn't have the sweetheart deals like that every almost every other NHL team has where the cities actually want him. Like they're trying to get rid of him. They're not, well, they're not giving him a sweetheart arena deal.
That arena only holds what, 5,000?
Right.
They're saying five. I think it's going to be a little bit less.
Wow.
But you, five luxury boxes, though. So I don't know what they're going to get out of that.
Because most cities of the new, they all get such sweet deals on everything. That's why they make money, because the arena, they get such a sweet deal in the arena to stick around or be built. They're not getting anything like that in Arizona. So if he puts money in his own arena, he's not going to get it back.
And also this just in, because we're taping it at night. The Nashville is officially safe with Dallas beating in the shootout Vegas. The Kings and Nashville clinched. Now Dallas could still technically lose that eighth spot to Vegas, but they're the only teams now. It's between Dallas and Vegas for that number eight seed, or the second wild card seed, I should say, in the West.
Well, but for that to happen, Dallas has to lose both their games and Vegas has to win both theirs, right?
They do. And in that case, Vegas does hold the tiebreaker and regulation wins. But yes, that is what it comes down to. Vegas has to win two, Dallas has to lose two.
Shout out to super fan Justin Cordova. He just texted me. Go Kings, go. We're in the playoffs.
Kings.
Breaking live news as we speak. Of course, I'm rooting for Dallas. Did you see Rupe Bahin scored two goals the other game on Saturday? And one of them, he was on his butt in the crease, and it was Robertson's goal, but he touched it the last second. Real dirtbag move. I love
Hintz. Hintz and Robertson have more second period goals than the entire Dallas Star roster combined. That's Mario Lemieux Yammer Yager type stuff.
What a year for Robertson
to dominate.
He's played great, Robertson.
Goals.
That also shows a lazy veteran leadership that's taking bad changes in the second period. Sagan
Sagan and Ben
gliding from the faceoff circle to the bench. Did we lose Andy? Is he coming
No,
back?
I'm here.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, your video went out.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's my battery. There I am.
All right. Any other news before we get to the awards?
I think we kind of covered everything I was thinking about.
We covered everything, yeah.
Yeah, I honestly didn't see much hockey this week, so I'm a little bit behind. Okay, the pre-award awards, Linda Cohn, Mayhew gets a goal on Quickie with the whiff. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
You never do that. You never just swing at the puck. But the team had his back and they won anyway. But yikes. The Duckies getting a gift. And oh, how Quickie, man. It'd jump into the defunct LA River if that cost him a playoff spot. Fantasy update. Do we have a champion? Should we make it official next week?
No, it's still, we got two games left to go. There's a heated game, the championship game. I think I'm going to come in third. I'm pretty confident in that, but the championship game is still up for grabs. I forget the team names, but, it's Kyle versus, somebody else, the Wookiees, I believe.
All right. Well, we will have it for you next week. Are you going to show up for your third place banner raising or
no? I'm not a National Predator fan. I'm not going to show up for that. I'm very disappointed, actually.
The Howie this week goes to Holla, the Boston Bruins. I know he skated up on a penalty shot. And he missed the puck, but he missed it completely. So they let him try again, and he went down and scored after being heckled mercilessly by the Montreal Canadiens fans.
Yeah, it's a funny rule. As long as you don't touch it, you can overskate it. The second you push it forward, it's over. You can circle it. You can go forward a bit, but the second you touch it, it's over and you drop it. So I didn't know that rule, really. I guess it makes sense looking back at the Mighty Duck movies, but I did not know that rule.
Yeah, wow. We didn't know it either, but we do remember he won many awards and a lot of dirtbags over the years, but Mr. Brad Marchand did it, but he actually touched the puck.
Yeah.
And then missed it. So he was not allowed to continue on with his day.
I have another Howie.
All right, buddy.
Joe Biden called Gary Bettman Gary Batman.
Did you see Victor Hedman trying not to explode laughing when that happened? Hedman was right behind Biden, and he tried to keep it together, but he really couldn't. He just started laughing.
Oh my goodness. So all the lightning went. I like it when the hockey guys go. I like it the hockey guys go. No dirtbag.
Yeah, they went.
No Korea. We do have two Marios. One, we have Frederick Carlstrom. He's very German. He gets go in his first game. And then Patty Maroon. What a Maroon. Meets a kid with cystic fibrosis, has been talking to him all season. And I guess, he's, the pandemic, he can't really come to the game. So he came to his first game after being friends with Pat for the season. Maroon guaranteed he'd score a goal, and he did. He got to meet him the game. So the two scene.
And that's been Maroon his whole career. He, 3 years ago, remember? I forget her name. I wish I could remember it off the top of my head. The girl that was sort of beating cancer and helping out the Blues. They were letting her in the locker room a lot. Patrick Maroon was her favorite player and sort of leading the charge in that. So that's kind of been his thing for a long time now. And to be honest with you, he's become one of my favorite players in the league that doesn't wear a Penguins jersey. I love Patty Maroon.
Oh, Maroon. Maroon's great. He was a Ducky for a long time, and he kind of died out in Edmonton, and he revived his career. What's funny is he was almost going to be a healthy scratch. He was going to be sent down before they made the coaching change in Berube, like tough guys. so when they fired whoever in St. Louis, Berube's like, no, put Maroon on. Maroon got in the lineup, and that the rest is history. Now he has three Stanley Cups.
Ovi also gave a stick. Ovi gave his stick to a fan who drove 2,000 miles to see him play.
God, the way gas prices are, probably cost the guy 10 grand. He should have flown.
So, yeah,
right. The guy's scared to fly? That guy's just stupid. I drive 2,000 miles.
That's more than your plane flight, yeah.
Yeah, even if you get your frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, that's a trip to Wally World. That's a weird one.
Then the guy never heard of Spirit. Come on now. No Claude. Skirt of the two skirts. We got Larson just letting the second goal that Rupe Hint scored on Saturday. He just made Larson look like a fool. So he got one the easy way by stealing Pasadena boy Robertson's. But he just danced for Larson. And then hate to do this. Guy I love and a guy I hate, but Evander Kane made Josh Manson look sick the other night. Whoa. Kane's playing good, man. He beat the hell out of the Penguins tonight. I'll tell you that.
Hey, they're 25-11 since they brought him on. Wow. You can look at that point in their season to where Holland really changed. And again, bringing in Woodcroft and firing Tippett. That all happened around the same time, but this Edmonton team, watching them tonight versus watching them 3 months ago, it's just night and day.
What do you think?
Look at momentum. I mean, look at the Penguins 3 months ago. We were talking about Stanley Cup, and then look, now I'm talking like, they're terrible. I mean, they lost to the Philadelphia Flyers.
That's the loss that hurts the most, because it meant something for Pittsburgh and it meant nothing for Philly, and for them to be
awful. I swear to God, Frage, on power plays, they were aiming at the Penguins to hurt them.
Wow.
Like knowing they were getting the block shots. I swear they were doing that, Andy.
Wow.
They hit three Penguins guys in the hands.
Man. How do you think Kings do against Oilers?
I think they might beat them. I mean, the Kings look like the Harlem Globetrotters against the Penguins, but the Penguins stink right now.
I think with Doughty, it's a toss up. I think without Doughty, it's going to be tough for the Kings. I think that's a, you know, and again, if you asked me this matchup 2 months ago, I say Kings in five. Now I'm thinking Edmonton in five or six. I think that they're clicking right. I think they're scoring. And Mike Smith, I mean, if he can continue this little streak he's on for at least another five, six games, I think it's going to be very, very tough.
He wasn't tested at all tonight.
Well, no. The Penguins sunk.
They didn't even have Darnell. If Darnell Nurse doesn't play, I'm taking the Kings. I think that Edmonton, they score on the rush, and that's it. They got three guys. That's basically it. And those guys are playing great. I'm not sold on Edmonton at all. Their defense stinks. It really does.
I'm not sold. I even like
CeCe. And I like, the Duncan Keith, but they're not any good. The Kings will run right. The Kings will go right around them and through them and over them.
Leafs and Ottawa fan about CeCe had a career year with the Penguins. So I think that in some ways we have a kind of a gleam to him that most organizations don't. But I do think that again, just Doughty just means so much. And him holding the puck versus McDavid carrying the puck is going to be a big difference in that series to me. Kulak. And I just think no Doughty is a big thing.
Kulak led Edmonton defense in ice time tonight. Kulak got shipped off the Montreal Canadiens. You don't think? I think the Kings are so much a deeper team. I think their defensemen are better, and I'm going to go Mike Smith over Quick. Get out of here! But we can talk about that next week. No, seriously, I always Edmonton is literally the NBA team that when you're not paying attention, they score on the rush, and oh look at this high flying McDavid got 4 points. That's fabulous. You put a game plan together after 2 weeks. I don't buy it. I don't buy Edmonton. But speaking of Edmonton, Kane, the hat trick versus the Habs. Snake. No, they didn't play the Habs. They played the Avs. Snake hat trick versus Boston. Andrew Kupp, the Natty Hattie for the Rangers versus Dallas. He's been a great pickup for the Rangers.
The Rangers deadline was insane. If you look at statistically what those players have done since they've gotten there.
Absolutely. I mean, and it puts, 75, it puts Reeves on the bench too, which is really good for the playoffs because he backs down when it matters. Minus five saves of the week. Vanecek on Galchenyuk, Bobo on Johnny T, Ettinger on Rask, Omar with the glove on Mika Runt, Mika Zibanejad.
Go ahead. I just wanted to add, I think that Thompson kid has, as much as I'm rooting against Vegas, he has made some great saves in a situation that's not very good. And tonight he was great. I guess I'm a little jaded because I just finished watching that game, but he made a save on Hintz in overtime that was incredible, and he kept them in it the whole game.
And he made some great saves in the shootout.
Yeah.
Goons of the week. Darnell Nurse absolutely destroyed Jamie Benn and knocked him into the bench.
Into the bench. That was wild.
Kaliev on Mahora only got the fine, did not get the suspension. And the Battle of Florida yesterday was insane, or Saturday was insane. Bunch of fights, a bunch of nastiness. I didn't mark that all down, but just that was incredible hockey. But here's the goon of the week, Chara. He took on Domi, Sveshnikov, and Ethan Bear. He's going to fight them all in the schoolyard. Those three guys, they were afraid to touch him.
I've never seen guys grip their gloves harder than when they got those straight punches from Chara. There was nobody challenging him. He just punched them, and they went, okay. Yeah. All right, man. You win.
He's like, I can't do this in the supermarket next year, so I'm getting all. He's been fighting everybody.
I'm gonna get these fights in while I can.
I'd have to look it up, but I can't remember a year where he fought more. Maybe early on with the Islanders, he did. But man, he had at least seven or eight this year, which I was never his style in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, like those old man cracks.
Yeah, because when he was younger, there was, you know, three tough guys on every team. So he probably just fought a lot more just in general. But it's been a long, long, long time.
Well, when you're 6'7", you come to the league, you're going to have to fight, you know, especially in the mid 90s. I don't think it was an option. I think he had to throw down a bunch.
And you know, his family is like all Greco-Roman gold medalists. So he was looking to fight somebody. I will be at Philadelphia Helium Thursday night. Come on, Flyer fans. Rub it in my face. You won, but you're out. You're not golfing. You're not watching hockey anymore. So come on out to the Helium Thursday. Me, Steve Simone, and Steve Rinaldi. So
great show.
Brian Plum with the guest set. So Plumber coming to
Philly. Plumber. What's up, buddy?
Plumber's coming to Philly. And then next Wednesday, Netflix is a joke. Bill Burr and Friends. I will be at the Palladium.
That's going to be awesome.
With Jessica Kirsten and Jimmy Carr, and it's the deep end of the pool.
Yeah. On
Wednesday. And I want to thank everyone again. Sold out the Den. Thanks everybody that came out to the special.
Well, congratulations, Joe, again on your great performance at the special in Chicago. Man, we're all happy for you. That is fantastic. And congratulations. And Andy Beccaro, great job. We want to thank our producer, Aaron, and all the Puckoff fans. The playoffs are coming up. We're all excited. Thank you for joining us. We are Puckoff. We are out.
Big playoff preview next week. Bye-bye.